RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. State-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina start preparations for Mahakam gas block. Coordinating Minister of War Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli visits Belgium to discuss maritime cooperation. Home Affairs Minister confirmed the regional government to protect religious freedom. Now the news in detail. State-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina has begun preparations for the operation of the gas-rich Mahakam block, which it will take over late next year. Pertamina Upstream Director Samsu Alam said setting up the work plan earlier would help the company carry out a smooth transition in the block's operatorship from current operator Total E&P Indonesia. Pertamina will own 100% stake in the block in early 2018. However, it is allowed to divest its ownership to partners by up to 30%. Involving the current contractors, which have experience managing the block, is the top option so that there is no massive decline in production following the change in operatorship. However, Pertamina, Total and Inpex have yet to reach a deal on future partnership. The drafting of the work plan and budget is expected to be concluded before mid-2017 when the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force or SK Kamigas start preparations to carry out discussion with oil and gas contractors for respective working areas. Mahakam is currently the biggest gas-producing block in the country. Indonesian Ministry of Defense launched in Jakarta Tuesday the portal website, TV, chat, and admin tool of State Defense Program, Ministry of Defense Television, and Bolts Indonesia. The launch of the devices aimed at supporting the State Defense Program and would give information to the public toward the program. Head of Education and Training Agency, the Ministry of Defense, Major General Hartin Asrin, on the occasion said the State Defense Program will create the participants to be more loving the country and act positively for the interests of the state and the nation. The state defense is the attitude and behavior of citizens inspired by the love for the Republic of Indonesia based on the state ideology of Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution for the viability of the nation and the country. Hartin Asrin expected that with the launching 6 information access tools, people would easily get information on the state defense program and actively participate in the program. The state defense program is different to the conscription. The program could be in form of culture preservation, obey the laws, and love domestic products. Based on a report of the National Commission of Human Rights on the Religious Freedom in 2014 and 2015, there were a court violation of the rights of religious freedom in the form of extortion in various government levels. In addition, there are also a number of discriminative regional regulations. Related to the matter, the Home Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo said, the ministry has encouraged anticipation steps and many efforts to handling religious harmony and social conflicts. Minister Cahyokumolo, in the National Congress of Religious Freedom in Jakarta on February 23rd, said the anticipation steps have been taken through socialization activities related to regulation and religious harmony in the provincial and regional city levels.
Saya yakin pemerintah provinsi, kota dan kabupaten cepat.
I'm sure the regional government are able to respond and overcome the conflict well by increasing communication, partnership network, and the facilities among integrated regional government. It is also important to hold sociological approachment by considering the existence of local wisdom, as well as developing togetherness and mutual understanding.
Komitmen bersama, membangun kesepahaman bersama, memupuk rasa saling.
Minister Cahyokumolo also believed the religious and traditional figures, leaders of non-governmental organizations that are led by the regional heads are able to keep harmonization of social and religious life in diversity. During the National Conference of Religious Freedom, there was also given many achievements for regional governments who dedicated in protection and fulfillment of religious freedom. Region of Purwakarta, West Java, Dedi Mulyadi, and Mayor of Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara, Jonas Salian, received achievements given by the Human Rights Commission. The state oil and gas firm Pertamina last week announced the launch of new diesel fuel type called Solar Light. Pertamina's Vice President for Corporate Communication, Wianda Pusponegoro, said on Tuesday that the commercial permit for the new fuel was still being reviewed by the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry's Oil and Gas Directorate. Wianda explained that the Oil and Gas Directorate General had proposed crude palm oil as the raw material to produce solar light since the mandatory biofuel ban had been enforced in January 2016. Wianda added that the solar light trial would be conducted in stages. However, Wianda refused which regions to be targeted for the launch. Solar light was claimed as an environmentally friendly diesel fuel due to its low sulfur content at 1000 ppm. As a comparison, the regular diesel fuel contains 3000 ppm of sulfur. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli has visited Belgium for the High-Level Roundtable and Global Infrastructure Investment Strategy on Tuesday, February 23, 2016. In a press release received in Jakarta on Wednesday, February 24, the former finance minister of President Abdurrahman Wahid administration is said to have held a meeting with Belgium Deputy Prime Minister Didier Reynders at Egmont Palace, Brussels, to discuss cooperation in maritime infrastructures, energy, fishing, industry, trade, and regional cooperation. The meeting is a follow-up on the discussion between Rizal and Belgian Ambassador for Indonesia Patrick Herman in Jakarta not long ago. In the meeting, Belgium showed its interest in establishing cooperation with Indonesia in maritime affairs. In addition to discussing environmental issues, the high-level roundtable on global infrastructure investment strategy also discussed Belgium technology excellence to be offered to Indonesia, particularly in national shipping supporting infrastructure. Belgium is known for its excellence in seaport management, which is integrated with green industry. Malaysia Venture Capital Management Berhad held a meeting with the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry to talk about e-commerce. With a revision of negative investment list, it is expected to facilitate the state's investment toward digital business in Indonesia. However, he asked that Malaysia not only invest in funding, but also request that the corporation can simultaneously share knowledge. So it's not just about money, but also on the know-how, he said in Jakarta on Tuesday, February 23rd. Minister Rudiantara said that Malaysia's intention to invest in the e-commerce sector is normal. especially when Indonesia is the largest digital economy in ASEAN. In order to quickly achieve digital economy by 2020, Indonesia needs knowledge and expert. Indonesia could be as sweet as Vietnam for many investors in the near future if all the stimulus packages aimed at providing a better investment climate are smoothly implemented. Korean Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Indonesia, or KOKAM Chairman C.K. Song, said on Tuesday that Indonesia was already on the right track for becoming as competitive as Vietnam in attracting foreign investment, but that it would take time for Southeast Asia's largest economy to fix numerous problems. Everyone now wants to go to Vietnam because it started providing incentives for foreign investors earlier, treating them like kings. Vietnam is a sweetheart for most investors willing to invest in Southeast Asia, ranked 90th in the 2016 World Bank's Ease of Doing Business Index. Recognizing the weakness, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has launched 10 economic stimulus packages over the last 6 months to boost investment and the business climate in the Southeast Asia's economic giant. Song emphasized that communications and synergy among ministries would be the key to implementing all the stimulus packages. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. State-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina start preparations for Mahakam gas block. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Rizal Ramli visits Belgium to discuss maritime cooperation. Home Affairs Minister confirmed the regional government to protect religious freedom. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, this is commentary entitled British Towards Referendum on the European Union. I'm Rahmawati. Last Sunday, February 21st, British Prime Minister David Cameron announced referendum on the membership of the country in the European Union that will be conducted on June 23, 2016. British people will determine to stay in the European Union or go out of the regional organization. Aspiration of British people who want the UK to go out of the European Union is getting stronger since Europe was hit by the long economic crisis. On the other hand, China's and India's economy grow fast. British Finance Minister George Osborne thinks that European Union should be reformed soon. Otherwise, British people will face two choices between staying in or quitting European Union. To Osborne, quitting European Union is not good, neither for the UK nor for European Union. British Prime Minister David Cameron promised that if he was elected again in the general elections 2015, he will reform Europe and conduct referendum in the UK to determine whether it quits the Union. Cameron then succeeded with European Union, which gave the UK special status in the regional organization. The UK is still allowed to use its own currency and limit welfare insurance for foreign workers. This policy aims to make the UK a destination for immigrants. The agreement of European Union may change their stance that once the UK quit European Union. Until now, Prime Minister David Cameron is supported by 16 cabinet members to still join European Union. Meanwhile, 6 other ministers support the UK to quit European Union. What will happen if the UK quits European Union? The cons think that the UK will be more isolated from the international society. The pros said the UK will save billions of pounds sterling from fund to take care of refugees and foreign job seekers in the country. For European Union, the UK's membership in the organization is highly important. Germany will lose a strong partner besides France if the UK quits. The existence of the UK in European Union makes this organization stronger economically and politically, indeed. On the other hand, this is important for the U.S. because it has a stronger European ally in decision-making in the fields of trade and security. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. Listener, we start from February 24, 1946. Juan Perón is elected as President of Argentina. Juan Domingo Perón was an Argentine lieutenant general and politician. After serving in several government positions, including Minister of Labor and Vice President, he was thrice elected President of Argentina, serving from June 1946 to September 1955, when he was overthrown in a coup d'etat, and then from October 1973 until his death in July 1974. During his first presidential term in 1946 to 52, Perón was supported by his second wife, Eva Duarte or Evita, and the two were immensely popular among many Argentines. Eva died in 1952 and Perón was elected to a second term, serving from 1952 until 1955. During the following period of two military dictatorships, interrupted by two civilian governments, the Peronist party was outlawed and Perón was exiled. When the left-wing Peronist Hector Campora was elected president in 1973, Perón returned to Argentina and was soon after elected president for a third time. His third wife, Maria Estela Martinez, known as Isabel Perón, was elected as vice president on his ticket and succeeded him as president upon his death in 1974. Although they are still controversial figures, Juan and Evita Perón are nonetheless considered icons by the Peronists. On February 24, 1991, the beginning of land attack of Gulf War. The Gulf War, codenamed Operation Desert Shield, for operation leading to the build-up of troops and defense of Saudi Arabia and Operation Desert Storm in its combat phase, was a war in the Persian Gulf region, which by coalition forces from 34 nations led by the United States against Baathist Iraq in response to Iraq's invasion and annexation of Kuwait. The initial conflict to expel Iraqi troops from Kuwait began with an aerial and naval bombardment on January 17, 1991, continuing for 5 weeks. This was followed by a ground assault on February 24th. This was a decisive victory for the coalition forces, who drove the Iraqi military from Kuwait and advanced into Iraqi territory. The coalition ceased its advance and declared a ceasefire 100 hours after the ground campaign started. Aerial and ground combat was confined to Iraq, Kuwait, and areas on Saudi Arabia's border. Iraq launched Scud missiles against coalition military targets in Saudi Arabia and against Israel. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with earthquake disaster in North Morocco on February 24, 2004. An earthquake measuring 6.5 on the Richter scale rocked the northern region of Morocco on Tuesday, February 24, 2004. The earthquake that struck the port city of Al Hoceima, Morocco, took place at 02:27 local time, or approximately 9:30 Western Indonesia time. U.S. Geological Survey, through its spokesman Butch Kinnamney, explained the epicenter estimated to be 100 miles northeast of the city of Fez, in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. The earthquake killed nearly 600 people and left thousands of people homeless. Besides city of Al Hoceima, about six cities in the vicinity, including Fez and Taza, were also affected by the earthquake, which reported no casualties. The earthquake was the largest earthquake since the disaster that killed 12,000 people in the city of Al-Ghadir in 1960. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Void Green. Today we'll talk about a damaged environment causing severe floods. Floods that hit several areas lately are quite severe. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry assured that environmental damage triggers the disaster. Director General of Watershed Management and Conservation Forest, Hilman Nugroho, said the main cause of flooding and landslides is dominated by destruction of watersheds, or DAS. According to Hilman, the damage does not only occur on both sides of the river, but also in a whole region of collecting, storing, and channeling rainwater before it is removed through river, lake, or sea. Hilman Nugroho further said, currently 2,087 from 17,000 of watersheds throughout Indonesia are in damage. There are 24.3 million hectares in critical condition. Therefore, according to Hilman, it is needed integrated management plan such as to prevent flood by improving dams, dredging river sedimentation, as well as changing community behavior to prevent flood. According to him, effort to prevent floods will be more effective by following watersheds management plan. The document should be designed by multi-parties to accommodate all interests. Minister Siti Nurbaya added, millions of trees were lost because of fire last year, led to ecosystems being damaged and triggered flash floods in some areas last year. The minister said the most important step that must be done is the restoration and control ecosystems, including tree planting measures. Previously, a number of agencies also said the floods that hit several areas cannot be separated from environmental damage, as Indonesian Forum for Environment Walhi West Sumatra also assessed the similar opinion. Executive Director of Walhi West Sumatra, Uslaini, revealed the ecological disaster in the area, particularly due to the large mining activity in forest areas and watersheds in West Sumatra since 2009. He said that Solok Selatan District was the worst hit areas of the impact of flooding. There are 22 mining business licenses in the region. Most of mine sites are located in the district, which is flooded by the river. According to him, open pit mining activities undertaken during the last 5 years has opened the area which previously has vegetation cover. It affects the ability of nature to absorb rainwater and runoff. While causing factor of major floods in North Aceh is massive new land clearing for palm oil plantations. Irsadi Aristora, director of the NGO Save the Nature Fauna and Flora, or SILFA, said legal logging in the forest area in North Aceh resulted the land cannot absorb the water. The same opinion is also conveyed by the head office of the Implementation Unit Operation Water Resources Management of Bengawan Solo in Bojonegoro, Muharram. He evaluated the main factor of the flash flood that hit Sugihan village is the damage of forest in southern area. East Java Governor Soekarwo also evaluated narrowing the river flow triggered floods in Sidoarjo. Although the high rainfall also taking effect, silting of rivers make the water difficult to flow. That was Voice Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, February 24, 2016. We begin with Kompas, which wrote prioritized nation's interest. Tax amnesty program, which was expected to be additional national revenue, was a bat in national taxation. The program must give optimum profit for the country with low cost, including the political cost. The political cost issue appeared because tax amnesty was feared to be associated with a postponed amendment of Law No. 30/2002 on Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK. The tax amnesty draft bill, to be the legal basis for the program, is included in the National Legislation Program 2016, along with several other laws, such as KPK law revision. The KPK law was initiated by the House while the tax amnesty draft was initiated by the government. When leading the plenary session at the House, February 23, 2016, the House's Deputy Speaker Agus Hermanto said the House had received the presidential letter on the draft bill. Previously, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro hoped the tax amnesty draft bill can be ratified during the session that will end on March 11, 2016, because it can be an additional source for national revenue. Still on tax amnesty, Tempo newspaper wrote the urgency of tax amnesty draft bill. The cancelled discussion on KPK law revision resulted in discussion on tax amnesty draft bill. Some members of the House said the draft bill discussion can be postponed because according to the agreement on the plenary session on December 15, 2015, the draft bill is included with the KPK law revision. House's Legislation Body Deputy Chairman Firman Subagio on Tuesday said if the President can postpone the KPK law revision, the House can also delay the tax amnesty draft bill. The letter on tax amnesty policy was read aloud in the plenary session on Tuesday. Afterwards, the Council must give response no later than 60 days since the reading. Meanwhile, the ratification will depend on the decision on deliberative body. Until now, the body is yet to schedule the draft bill discussion. Firman ended. Even if the council approved, the draft bill must still be discussed by the body, which will decide who to discuss the substance of the draft bill with the government. On the other hand, during the state budget change preparatory meeting on the same day, House Speaker Ade Komarudin urged the council members to still discuss the draft bill. Listener, we continue with Media Indonesia. Three fractions urge KPK law revision to be removed. Prosperous Justice Party or PKS, Gerindra and Demokrat faction insisted on supporting the removal of revision towards the Law No. 30/2002 on KPK from the 2016 National Legislation Program. They said President Joko Widodo's delay on the revision was not enough. PKS Chairman Muhammad Sohibul Iman in an official release on February 23 said his party won the revision not only be delayed but also removed from the National Legislation Program. According to Sohibul, the important matter now is to support KPK to reveal bigger class corruption with the available regulation. Sohibul said houses and government's energy should be focused on more substantive law that can be directly felt by the people. Well, listener, we end today's headline with Education and Culture Ministry formulates public involvement method. Education and Culture Ministry or Kemendikbud will formulate more intensive public involvement method in handling the education and culture ecosystem in the government. According to Minister Anies Baswedan, the matter is important to make the expected changes not merely symbolic or conceptual. The method formulation, he added, needs not to be implemented in the basic regulation, instead through interaction to let free creativity. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. State-owned oil and gas firm Pertamina has begun preparations for the operation of the gas-rich Mahakam block, which it will take over late next year. Pertamina Upstream Director Samsu Alam said setting up the work plan earlier would help the company carry out a smooth transition in the block's operatorship from current operator Total E&P Indonesia. Pertamina will own 100% stake in the block in early 2018. Indonesian Ministry of Defense launched in Jakarta Tuesday the portal website TV, chat and admin tool of State Defense Program, Ministry of Defense Television and Bolts Indonesia. The launch of the devices aimed at supporting the State Defense Program and would give information to the public toward the program. Based on a report of the National Commission of Human Rights on the Religious Freedom in 2014 and 2015, there were a court violation of the rights of religious freedom in the form of extortion in various government levels. In addition, there are also a number of discriminative regional regulations. The state oil and gas firm Pertamina last week announced the launch of new diesel fuel type called Solar Light. Pertamina's Vice President for Corporate Communication, Wianda Pusponegoro, said on Tuesday that the commercial permit for the new fuel was still being reviewed by the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry's Oil and Gas Directorate. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Rizal Ramli, has visited Belgium for the high-level roundtable on Global Infrastructure Investment Strategy on Tuesday, February 23rd. In a press release received in Jakarta Wednesday, February 24th, the former finance minister of President Abdurrahman Wahid administration is said to have held a meeting with Belgium Deputy Prime Minister Didier Reynier at Eijkman Palace, Brussels, to discuss cooperation in maritime infrastructures, energy, fishing industry, trades and regional cooperation. Malaysia Venture Capital Management Berhad held a meeting with an Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry to talk about e-commerce. Indonesia could be as sweet as Vietnam for many investors in the near future if all the stimulus packages aimed at providing a better investment climate are smoothly implemented. Korean Chamber of Commerce and Industry in Indonesia or KOKAM Chairman C.K. Song said on Tuesday that Indonesia was already on the right track for becoming as competitive as Vietnam in attracting foreign investment, but that it would take time for Southeast Asia's largest economy to fix numerous problems. Listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Riau Islands Province. Stay tuned. Riau Islands Province, Praisely, Penyengat Island held a festival with the theme Penyengat Island Festival. The festival was participated by 6 countries and aimed to promote Tanjung Pinang, the capital city of Rio Islands province. Various arts and cultures enlivened the festival. There were also some sport events such as traditional swimming, kite, and many others. 10,000 foreign tourists were targeted to come to the festival. Listeners, Penyengat Island, a small island which has a distance around 2 kilometers from Tanjung Pinang City, is one of tourism's objects. From seaport of Tanjung Pinang, this island can be accessed by small boat, namely pompong. After crossing around 15 minutes, you will arrive on Penyengat Island. Penyengat Island only has 2,000 meters long and 850 meters wide. So you can go around this island on foot or by riding pedicab. Listeners, on Penyengat Island there are some historical tourism objects of Johor Riau Sultanate. One of them is Sultan Riau Great Mosque. The mosque, which has thickness wall 50 cm, was built around 1761 until 8112. The main building of the mosque is around 29 times 19 meters and supported by 4 pillars. Interestingly, this mosque is made from a mixture of egg white and painted with yolk. The privilege of the mosque can also be seen from all staff in it. Near main entrance, you can find handwritten Quran manuscripts, which is placed in a glass coffin. Manuscripts were written by Abdurrahman Stambul, a native son of Riau of Penyengat Island, in 1867. Another interesting stuff is a podium, which was made from thick wood. This podium was from Jepara City, Central Java Province. Near the podium, it is stored a plate of sand. People say the sand is from Mecca. There is also carpet from Turkey and crystal lamp which was gift from Prussian Kingdom or Germany in 1860s. In Sultan Riau Great Mosque, there are still many heritage stuffs on Penyengat Island. There is Princess Wealth or Key, which was women's bathing place in the era of Johor Riau Kingdom. In the place, there are a long chair and also water pool. Then there is munitioned building site. In the era of Johor Riau Kingdom, this building had thick wall, storey dome, and also iron barred small window as munition warehouse. After visiting munition building site, please come to Kursi Hill. In the past, the hill was blockhouse of Johor Riau Kingdom. On the hill, there are 8 cannons. The position of the hill is very strategic. Because of the hill, anybody who comes to Penyengat Island can be seen clearly. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and idioms, as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is Liburan ke Palembang, or in English means Holiday to Palembang. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, first I will say the Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to today's topic. I will say them twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Tahun ini. Tahun ini. In English, this year. Rencana. Rencana. In English, plan. Liburan. Liburan. In English, vacation. Kota. Kota. In English, city. Awal bulan Maret 2016. Awal bulan Maret 2016. In English, early March 2016. Menyaksikan. Menyaksikan. In English, witness. Gerhana matahari total. Gerhana matahari total. In English, total solar eclipse. Melewati. Melewati. In English, pass. Daerah pesisir. Daerah pesisir. In English, coasts. Informasi. Informasi. In English, information. Dari mana? Dari mana? In English, from where? Kantor berita. Kantor berita. In English, news agency. Mengunjungi. Mengunjungi. In English, to visit. Tempat objek wisata. Tempat objek wisata. In English, tourism destination. Mencicipi. Mencicipi. In English, to taste. Makanan khas. Makanan khas. In English, typical food. Dengan siapa? Dengan siapa? In English, with whom? Adik perempuan. Adik perempuan. In English, sister. Selamat berlibur. Selamat berlibur. In English, have a nice holiday. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa. In English, see you. Now here is a conversation example between Lucy or A and Hannah or B. I will say them two times slowly and you can follow after me. A. Tahun ini kamu berencana liburan kemana? Tahun ini kamu berencana liburan kemana? In English, where will you have your holiday this year? B. Saya berencana akan ke Palembang pada awal bulan Maret 2016. Saya berencana akan ke Palembang pada bulan Maret 2016. In English, I have a plan to visit Palembang in early March 2016. Saya ingin menyaksikan gerhana matahari total yang melewati daerah pesisir Palembang. Saya ingin menyaksikan gerhana matahari total yang melewati daerah pesisir Palembang. In English, I want to witness the total solar eclipse which will pass the coasts of Palembang. A. Kamu dapat informasi dari mana? Kamu dapat informasi dari mana? In English, from where did you get the information? B. Dari kantor berita antara. Dari kantor berita antara. In English, from Antara News Agency. A. Tempat apa saja yang kamu ingin kunjungi? Tempat apa saja yang kamu ingin kunjungi? In English, which places will you visit? B. Saya ingin mengunjungi beberapa tempat objek wisata dan mencicipi makanan khas kota Palembang. Saya ingin mengunjungi beberapa tempat objek wisata dan mencicipi makanan khas kota Palembang. In English, I will visit several tourism destinations and taste the typical food of Palembang. A. Dengan siapa kamu pergi? Dengan siapa kamu pergi? In English, with whom will you go? B. Dengan adik perempuan saya. Dengan adik perempuan saya. In English, with my sister. A. Baiklah, selamat berlibur dan sampai jumpa. Baiklah, selamat berlibur dan sampai jumpa. In English, alright, have a nice holiday and see you. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We may do again next week with other interesting topics. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to an Indonesian rock singer, Ahmad Albar. Listener, let's listen to the coming song entitled Biskota or City Bus. Happy listening.
Lari mengejar laju biskota.
Ahmad Sheikh Albar, better known with the name Ahmad Albar, is a famous Indonesian rock singer. The rocker, who is familiarly called Iye, started his career from a little movie star through a film Jenderal Kancil in 1957. In the same year, Iye also began to develop her musical ability to form a little band called Bintang Remaja and Kwartanada. But, unfortunately, the bands disbanded just in short time. Iye then go to the Netherlands in 1960. In the Wilmel country, Iye back to channel her musical passion by forming a musical group namely Take Five in 1966 to 1967. Together with Take Five, Iye won as the best vocalist in the music festival at that time. A year later, Iye reformed a music group called Cloverleaf and successfully released 9 songs. In 1972, Iye returned to Indonesia, and in 1973, Iye managed to form a band called God Bless, consisted of 4 personnel: Fuad Hasan, the drummer; Doni Fatah, the bassist; Joki, keyboardist; and Ludwig Lemans, guitarist. In 1975, they managed to release an album entitled God Bless. After success through the album, finally they released several albums such as Cermin in 1980, Semut Hitam in 1988, Raksasa in 1989, and The Story of God Bless in 1990. Well, listeners, next, let's listen to the next song entitled Syair Kehidupan. Enjoy the song.
Jamu
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.